of the 9 days. I really wanted to use that. This is a very nice kuntras, but I didn't have a chance. So I will use the art scroll. I spent some time on the art scroll first. Basic halachas of what one is not allowed to do during the 9 days. It's unfortunate. You know what's very unfortunate about the 9 days? All of the halachas are about what you're not allowed to do. Okay? Wouldn't it be nice to learn what you should do or what you're allowed to do? Okay, that's one of all of the Moadim, generally, it's all what you should do. How do you mekayim the mitzvah of Ulvan Eshrik? How do you mekayim the mitzvah of Shofar? How do you mekayim the mitzvah of Matzah? How do you conduct yourself when it comes to the Seder? Unfortunately, when it comes to the Bein HaMetzar, the 3 weeks, the 9 days, and Tisha B'Av, so basically, what are all the halachas? 95% of the halachas is what you're not allowed to do. That's a very disturbing thought. I told you many times, someone I know, he went to the child comes home from school every day with sheets. And the parent has to sign 10 sheets. My son did not watch television tonight. My son did not do this. My son did not do this. So he went to his Rebbe and he said, why do I, everything has to be negative? Why can't you have me sign every night? My son, he learned for 10 minutes. My son, he did his homework. My son did a mitzvah. My son, he said Kriya Shema before he went to sleep. Why are all of the things I have to sign every night negative? Why can't there be some positivity in Judaism? So the Rebbe said to him, listen, there are Tayag mitzvahs. There are 365 loisaseis and 248 positive mitzvahs. Which one is more? The negative or the positive? There are more negatives then there are positives. So therefore, we focus on the negative. Would you send your child to such a school?
No.
Okay. That's what he told me, the Rebbe said to him. There are more loisaseis. I think the Rebbe, though, did give in a little bit. I think he did take his words a little seriously. I think he did make some changes. But
the Rebbe could have just answered, why not?
Whatever. Okay, so it is interesting is that many of the things are negative, but unfortunately we live in a negative world and we have to try to channel the negativity to something that is to use the negative as a form of being positive, which is not so simple. Okay, the most practical thing about the 9 days is food. Okay, that's the most practical thing. Everyone needs to eat. So what are you not allowed to eat? Main thing are two, the only really two things you can't eat. You can't eat meat, and you can't drink wine. Why not? Why can't we drink wine and meat? Why not? So this comes from a Gemara. Now let's first clarify. This is very, very critical, especially when it comes to the 9 days. You have to separate between halacha and minhag. According to strict halacha, the only meal which you're not allowed to eat meat is the Sudas HaMafsekes, which this year doesn't apply. Because this year, Tisha B'Av is on Shabbos, so there is no real Sudas HaMafsekes. The Sudas HaMafsekes is Shalosh Su'udos, which it says in Chazal, you can eat afilu kisudas Shiloimoy B'Shaitoy, which is a very unusual expression to use on Tisha B'Av itself, but we'll leave that for another time. So this year it doesn't really apply, but let's say it would apply. The only time, according to the letter of the law, according to the strict halacha, that you're not allowed to eat meat and you're not allowed to drink wine is only the last meal before the tainis begins. That is what it says in Shulchan Aruch. However, there is a minhag. It's nothing more than a minhag not to eat meat the entire period of the 9 days. Why is that so? So it's a Gemara. The Gemara tells us follows. Gesundheit. The Gemara says that after the Chumash HaMikdash, there was a group of people who came together, Talmidei Chachamim, I guess the Anshei Knesses HaGadayla, and they said we have to make takonos, how we should remember, how we should continuously mourn for the Chorban of the Beis HaMikdash. And the suggestion was made that we should not eat meat. Since we're no longer bringing meat on the Mizbeach as a carbon to Hashem, we no longer bring animals. So if Hashem, his Mizbeach, is beer, is not receiving meat, how can we dare ingest meat? if the Mizbeach is no longer receiving libations, the Nisachim, how dare we take it upon ourselves to drink wine and pour wine down our throats? The Mizbeach is not getting its Nisachim. Normally a carbon is accompanied by libations. You pour wine in the Mizbeach. So the Rabbanan said, if you're going to say that, so go further. Don't eat bread. Because every carbon is offered, every carbon, it comes with a mincha, meal offering. Lechem apadim. According to that logic, you should not drink water yet. I don't think Mark says that because you pour water, then the nisach hamayim. So don't drink water. Don't eat fruit because one of the services is to bring bikurim. So you can't live like that. That's ridiculous. There's a limit to how far. Just because there's no beis hamidrash, there's no mizbeach, there's no bikurim, there's no nisach hamayim. Of course, you have to still be able to eat fruit and vegetables. Well, not vegetables, not really. No, yeah, I don't think I want to make those vegetables, but of course, you have fruit and water. So, by extension, you can't go to an extreme and deny people from drinking yayin and eating meat, even though there's no mizbeach, and we do not offer on the mizbeach meat and yayin. So, therefore, they rejected this suggestion. It was rejected 100%. Not necessarily, I take that back. It was rejected. However, during the 9 days, it lingers in our mind, the Hava Amina. It's a very interesting idea. You have this idea very often in Chazal, is where, and we learn, you learn a Daf Gemara, and many ask the question, why do we have to go through the Shakta Vitaria, the Havayos, the Abaya Virava? The Gemara asks a question, and there's an answer that is suggested, and then the answer is rejected, then there's another answer, and go back and forth, and you can go 10 blad until finally the Gemara comes out with either a teiku, that's correct, either a teiku, there is no resolution, or the Gemara finally gives a resolution to the issue, presents an argument which is sound, and there's nothing more to discuss. So in fact, the Rif does just that. He cuts out all the give and take and just presents you with the Gemara's conclusion. And there were time periods in Klal Yisrael where that was the Ikar Lima. The Ikar Lima was to cut out all of the Havayos, the Abaye V'Rava. Okay, there was such a time period when people did not focus on the Talmud the way we have it. The focus was on the Rif. Was just the Mishnayos and the conclusions of the Gemara without going through the give and take. For whatever reason, it appears that was not successful. There's a need to go through the give and take for various reasons. Number one, it opens up the mind. Part of the discussion creates an appreciation for the Gemara's conclusion. But there's another very important reason, and that is every svara that is presented in the Gemara, even if the Gemara thoroughly rejects it, and that particular topic, the fact that it has been presented is an acknowledgement that there is truth to what has been said. And although in this context, in this particular sugya, it's rejected, but it has an application in another sugya, in another place and time. Every Hava Mina that has been preserved in the Gemara has an application. Every Hava Mina you see in the Gemara could have said another 50 reasons. When you have a discussion in the Gemara being part of the discussion, you can throw in another 50 different arguments back and forth. How come those arguments were not concluded in the Gemara? Because those arguments are total nonsense. Those arguments have absolutely no application anywhere in Shas. The arguments that are presented, although they are ultimately rejected, have applications elsewhere. The fact that the Gemara presented such an argument that maybe we today should not eat meat, we should not drink wine, because there is no Mizbeach, and Hashem is not receiving the meat of a carbon oila, the imurim of a carbon chatas. Hashem is not receiving the yayin, the nesachim. So how dare we consume, ingest meat and drink wine? The Gemara rejects it. You know why? You can't live like that. You have to have meat. You have to have yayin. You can't live like that. But because the Gemara did present such a Hava Amina, it does have an application, and that is during the 9 days. These few days, it's not so much. Anyway, there's a Shabbos in the middle, Shabbos Chazoin, and there's a Shabbos. We just went through this pair of Shabbos, and you have a Siyam here and there, and you have a Sudas Bris Mila, or you have a Bar Mitzvah. Anyway, you'll find excuses to have meat. But there is an application of these halachas that you're not allowed, that you during at least the 9 days is a time to dwell upon the Chorban Beis HaMikdash. And you have to remember, the goal is not the negative. The negative is don't eat meat. Don't drink wine. Turn the negative into a positive. The reason why I'm not eating meat is because Hashem is not eating meat. If Hashem doesn't eat his meat, how can I eat my meat? If there's a Mizbeach and we offer a carbon of meat on the Mizbeach, I have to feel. It's not nice, you know? There are people, just like a person, it's much easier for a person to relate. There are people starving in Africa, third world countries. They always tell you, how could you waste food? Give you a portion of food, you just waste the food, you throw in the garbage. Do you know there are people in this world that would do anything to have what you have on your plate? There are people that are starving, and you're spoiled, you have more than you need, and you're just going to be mevaze the food? So right away we get scared. Right away, when you hear that, you're right. There are people that are much less fortunate than us. We're blessed. You have to be sensitive to the blessing that you have and what other people do not have. You can't just waste food. It's the same thing spiritually. You're eating meat. Do we realize that the tzar that Hashem has, that there is no Beis HaMikdash, and Bizman Shebeis HaMikdash HaYakayim, there was such a thing as bring Korbanos. We don't appreciate what Korbanos are. We really have no clue what it's all about. But Chazal said that the Kadosh Baruch Hu has a tremendous Agmas Nefesh, that there is no Beis HaMikdash, there is no Nachas Ruach HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If Hashem has tzar, he does not have meat. How can you eat meat? How can you drink wine? So at least for these few days, that is the reason. That is the Zahava Mina in the Gemara, which is too much for us to apply practically the entire year. But because it was presented as a Hava Mina, the minhag ha'olam is to accept it at least for the 9 days, to adhere to a higher standard and feel Hashem's tzar. Hashem does not have meat. Hashem does not have yayin. Okay, that's why the reason why we do not eat meat. Now, there are many exceptions. Okay, when does it begin? It's already too late to discuss when it begins. It begins on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, even though it's Rosh Chodesh. Too bad. Rosh Av, even though, in other words, if a person has a su'uda, just to bring out the point of how severe the minig, what the minig is, just to appreciate, to clarify, it's a minig where you can't play games with this minig. If a person, let's say, Erev Rosh Chodesh, would have a lavish su'uda with meat, and then it comes sunset, and says, listen, I started beheder, so I'm allowed to finish. We apply this rule across the board. We apply this when it comes to Purim. You start your su'udas Purim, and you continue it into the night, or shalosh su'udos, or Friday night. There are many things you can say ritzeh, yalav yavo. Even though there are many different opinions, but basically, if you start a su'uda beheder in a certain time period, generally, whatever the rules are for the time that you start, it continues with you into the next time period. So one can argue that the same thing should be true when it comes to eating meat. If I start a su'uda beheder eating meat before sunset, erev Rosh Chodesh Av, and now it's later, now it's sunset, I should be permitted to continue eating meat. Yet the halacha, the way we observe this minhag, it is usur. Once the sun sets, a person has to stop. Now, it's already past that point in time for us now, this year, but at least we get an appreciation of this is serious business. The zman is the zman. Once the zman begins, it's an exception to the rule. You don't go look back on what you're doing until now. You start a beheder. It is now. We do not continue to eat meat, drink wine. Once Rosh Chodesh begins, even though you'll say, oh, it's Rosh Chodesh, it's a Yom Tif. No. Doesn't matter. The 9 days are the 9 days.
11 days.
What?
Are you allowed to drink grape juice?
No, absolutely not. Not only that, he writes here in the Arsenal Tremendous Chiddush, he writes, shocking what he says, even grape products that you make a shahakol on. In other words, you eat ices, exactly. Let's say you go, what are they called?
Slurpees?
Yeah, anything. Smoothies. Whatever you have, and they put inside grape juice, and you make a shahakol. It's no kunz. If you're making a bar priya gofen, that's no, of course, make a bar priya gofen. You know, if you have a drink, a grape juice, of course. But let's say you have a flavored drink, then you make a shahakol on. Okay, a flavored drink normally would be bar priya gofen, but let's say you have ices, grape flavored ice with real grape juice. Not today, everything is, you know, food technology, they can make something taste like grape. But let's say they actually use real grape juice to flavor these ices or this ice cream or whatever. I'm not familiar with all the different type of delicacies, but they put real grape juice inside and you taste the flavor, and the chiddush is, don't answer, don't argue, oh, but I make a shahakol, I'm not making a bar priya gofen. So he writes over here, Rav Simcha Bunim Koni writes, too bad, that's the halacha. The halacha, what?
The grapes itself?
No, it's a fruit. Grape is called a fruit. That's not called yayin. You're saying a good point. It's not a dinazirus. There is a specialist we call Yetziya Gefen. The Torah there prohibits grapes. Grapes and the product of the grapes, when it comes to the 9 days, din of libations. So you have to go back to the tam. The tam is the nesochim. You see, when you know the tam, it makes a lot more sense. It's not in the bikurim. Why don't we drink wine? One reason only. Libations. Nisachim. So that means yayin. Mitz anavim is in halacha called yayin. If it's added into a product, you're not allowed to eat that product during the 9 days, even if you make on that product a shahakol. It's very, also very important, certain dishes, the chef, the ingredients call for a little bit of wine. Okay, I should go to buy these fancy cookbooks. They sell more cookbooks than they sell chumashim and sidurim. And if you go look at all the Beis Yaakov cookbook and this cookbook and that cookbook, there's only about 1,000 of them. I'm certain that some of them call for adding wine as one of the ingredients in a dish to give it some flavor, to give it some texture, whatever they want to use it for. It's a no-no. You're not allowed to add wine into a dish that you eat during the 9 days.
In this year, we have 2 days Shabbat.
I'm not coming to that. You're coming. You're saying Shabbat. Very good. Shavuot Shechalboy. I'm not yet up to Shavuot Shechalboy.
No, Shabbat,
I know. Svarad Mashkenazim, not yet. We're not there yet. We're talking about the laws of the 9 days. We're not up to Shavuot Shechalboy. We're up to the laws of 9 days. Hold off for one moment. Good question. Good point. Okay, next. So this is. Now it's beginning. It's chomer once the 9 days begin. There's no yayin, and even implies to any type of grape juice added into a product when you make a shakel. Now what about? Let's talk about some exceptions for a few moments. No, that's not called grape juice. That is permitted. Okay, now let's talk about meat. What else? You're not allowed to eat meat. What about chicken? There's no difference between, in this particular halacha, there is no difference between chicken and meat. Chicken is considered meat, and it is off limits during the 9 days for a healthy person that does not need to eat chicken. Now let's
That's interesting because they can't bring chicken for a carbon.
Good point. Very good point. That's right. Even though you cannot bring it, but you know it's not necessarily so you do, but you don't make a chicken, but you oif ice. Achatos oif, the koyhanim eat the koyhanim meat. Okay, so we do bring bird. We don't bring a chicken.
So deer meat also is also because it's meat, not because you don't bring a deer for a carbon.
So a chaya, you're not allowed to eat wild animals, a deer, certain types of animals you cannot bring as a carbon. So I guess the answer is loy plug. It's across the board. meat, it's a zecher that there are no korbanos, so we don't need all types of meat, even meat that is not fit to be offered as a korban, including chicken as
not
well.
Fish.
Fish is mutter.
Yeah.
Habasar odenu ben shneihem. All right, so this is now there are many exceptions. Now let's first discuss people. As a person, the leniencies are very great. If a person is not 100% well, and the only thing which gives him koyach is to eat meat or to eat chicken, of course it's permitted. Women who are nursing, women who are pregnant, or women after birth, the leniencies are well known. If a person feels that they're not getting their diet is not providing them with enough nutrients, and they're not getting the same bang for their buck with a milch dik meal, and it's a health issue, and there's nothing to discuss, it is permitted to eat meat and even to drink wine during the 9 days without any question whatsoever. As we mentioned, it's only a minhag. The halacha only demands erev Tisha B'Av, and being that it's a minhag, it's very easy to find a heter to eat meat and drink wine for a person that needs it for their health. What about children? So children also, there's a din of chinuch. Chinuch starts in this matter at the age of about 8-9 years old. Before 8-9 years old, it appears there is no inyan whatsoever. You can feed a child under the age of 8. You can feed him meat. You can feed him chicken. There's no issue whatsoever. After 8 and 9, then it begins chinuch. If the kid needs it, the kid's very weak, he's very schwach, and he needs meat, of course, then it's going to be mutter. But the laws of chinuch in this matter do not begin until the late age of 8 or 9 years old. Now, what about exceptions to the rule? A bris milah. Okay, you ever go to a flesh de gebris? I'm sure you've gone every once in a while to a flesh de gebris. It's mutter, you can have meat. What about a pinyan aben? Four exceptions. Four exceptions when you're allowed to have meat. Everyone knows a siyum, which we'll discuss in a moment, a siyum esechta, bris milah, pinyan aben, and a bar mitzvah. A bar mitzvah, you're allowed to have meat. Now, it's not so simple. Let's do why. According to the letter of the law, the only ones that are allowed to eat by a bris, by a siyum, and by a bar mitzvah, there's a difference between shavua shechalboi and the beginning of the 9 days. Now, we're not going there now. Let's make belief arguments say, right, there's a very fundamental difference if there is something this year called shavua shechalboi. According to Sfardim, there is, right? I already forgot.
Yeah, we can get shaveh, we can laundry. This week, no problem.
This year, there's no problem.
No.
There's no shavua shechal.
Not haircut, no.
There's no shavua shechal.
No meat, no haircut.
There's a fundamental difference in a year like this year when Tisha B'Av falls out on Shabbos. So does that mean that the entire... let's go take a step back. Normally, there are two levels in the 9 days. There are the 9 days from beginning of Chodesh Av until Matzoi Shabbos of the week of which Tisha B'Av falls out in. So let's say, for make-believe, Tisha B'Av will be on a Tuesday. So when we're from the beginning of Rosh Chodesh until the Shabbos before Tisha B'Av, that has one, it's one category of the 9 days. Once you get to the week in which Tisha B'Av falls out, if Tisha B'Av falls out on a Tuesday, then starting from Mitzvah Shabbos, the rules are they go up one notch. The stringencies kick in to a higher degree. This year, Tisha B'Av is on Shabbos, according to the calendar. So does that mean that the entire week, starting with right now... Starting right now, are we now in the week of Shavua Shechalboi?
No.
So, what? Yeah.
No.
Is this the entire... So that depends. It's the difference between the Svardim and the Ashkenazim. Ashkenazim hold, yes, the entire week has the status of Shavua Shechalboi, and the Svardim hold that this year is a bonus. There is no Shavua Shechalboi, period. You get away with it.
Melech HaMashiach is coming.
Okay, you get away with it. There's no din shvur shechalba. Okay, you mentioned Melech HaMashiach. So in honor of David, in honor of you, I'll tell you, it says in Chazal, if only Klal Yisrael will observe two Shabbosos, Mashiach will come. Everyone heard that Chazal?
Yeah.
Yeah. Only observe two Shabbosos. So this year, it's the second year in a row when Tisha B'Av falls out. By the way, only have two consecutive Shabbosos. If only Klal Yisrael will observe two consecutive Shabbos, Mashiach will come. What's the big deal? Klal Yisrael observe Shabbos every year. What's the big deal? Every day, every Shabbos. What's the big deal? So it means an exceptional observance of Shabbos. Two consecutive observances of Shabbos. So what happens when Tisha B'Av is Chal on Shabbos? So you can argue you should fast on Shabbos. I mean, what greater tragedy is there? What greater tragedy is there than Tisha B'Av? So we should really observe Tisha B'Av on Shabbos. Yet, what is the halacha? The halacha is that we do not observe Tisha B'Av. We observe Shabbos. We put away Tisha B'Av and we observe Shabbos. Chazal said that Asar B'Teves would fall out on Shabbos, we would fast on Shabbos. It happens to be that according to the way the calendar is made, it does not fall out. But if it would fall out on Shabbos, we would observe. But Tisha B'Av, maybe you would argue that we should observe Tisha B'Av Shechal Yos B'Shabbos. What happened? No. We have decided, Chazal have decided, get rid of Tisha B'Av, we're going to observe Shabbos. It is an unusual observance of Shabbos. Because really we should fast on Shabbos. We're going to observe Shabbos, we're going to be meiser nefesh to observe Shabbos. And this year we're doing it two consecutive Shabbosos in a row. We did it last year, Tisha B'Av was chal on Shabbos. And this year, Tisha B'Av is chal on Shabbos. When Klal Yisrael will observe two Shabbosos consecutively, Mashiach will come. So here we're observing two Shabbosos consecutively, not consecutively back to back. It means consecutively yearly. We're observing the Shabbos. We're saying to Tisha B'Av, go fly a kite. We're not interested. You go away. We're observing Shabbos, the Chavivus for Shabbos, two consecutive years in a row. It's a zman that's mesugal for the coming of Mashiach. Okay, now weiter. So we have. Let's go back. So normally there are two different notches in the observance of Tisha B'Av. There is the week until Shulchan Aruch. So the question over here is who is allowed to participate in the Sudas Mitzvah? According to the Shulchan Aruch, there's a difference between the week before and the week of Tisha B'Av. The week before it's more relaxed. If you make a Suuda, let's say a Bris. Who would you normally invite to the bris? Who would you send out invitations? We don't send invitations, but who would normally come? There's a certain group of people that come to a bris. They are allowed to eat meat at the bris mila. But let us say there's a guy happens to be in shul. He happens to be here. He just fell into the shul because whatever, he's a guest. He came into America for whatever, for something, and he happens to daven in the shul. And guess what? There's a bris meal in shul on that day. Is he allowed to eat meat at the bris? They say, oh, come, stay for the bris. Stay for the bris, sit down, you're here, you're davening, stay. Everyone is invited to go down to the hall downstairs to have a suda in honor of the bris. Is he allowed to eat? No, he's not allowed to eat. The only ones that are allowed to eat at a bris, at a bar mitzvah, at a siyum, are people who would ordinarily be invited. They're on your simcha list. Many people at home have a simcha list. When they make a simcha, they have a list. They add and they take away. If you are on that list, and then there's a simcha, you can come, you can eat. But if you're not on that list, you just happen to be in the wrong place at the wrong time, or in the right place at the right time, you're not allowed to eat. Now, shavua shechalba, according to Ashi.
Meat.
You're not allowed to eat meat. You're not allowed to eat meat. But you're allowed to eat. Of course you're allowed to eat. You're allowed to eat meat. And what about shavua shechalba? Let's say like Ashkenazim the whole week, Shvur Shechalba, the only one that's allowed to eat meat by a bris, by a bar mitzvah, by a siyum, is only the immediate family. Basically, the people who are possible to testify in court for you. A brother, a father, a son, maybe an uncle, maybe a cousin, not really, maybe a cousin. The only people that are disqualified for testifying, they are allowed to eat meat. No one else. Let's say you only are from your immediate family 6 people. Okay, you can select 4 more people to be mashlim, the meat can eat meat. Everyone else, you have a shul that has 1,000 people. Too bad. Too bad. You not only have a bigger bris milah in the shul, you're going to serve meat, and you tell the caterer to serve 1,000 portions of meat for the 1,000 people who are coming to, that are going to be present when you make this bris milah. It's shvur shechalboy. They're not allowed to eat according to what it says in Shulchan Aruch. Only the immediate family, only, and if you need more people, to make up 10 people. That's what it says in the books. And when it comes to a basim as well, Shur Shechalboy, who's allowed to participate in the steam? Only the Shur Shechalboy, only the people that are disqualified to testify for you and the people that are mashlim the minyan. That's what it says. However, it's not the minhag olam. I told you is what really is correct. And everyone writes this. I'm not making this up. Everyone writes this. That's what it says. For whatever reason, we bend the rules today. For whatever the reason, everyone is your immediate family. Kol Yisrael Chaverim. Okay, everyone became the minhag ha'olam is you make a bris and you're serving meat, and there's a guys here that are from Kalamazoo happened to fall into the shul on that day, and they could also eat. You make a siyam, you go to a restaurant, make a siyam, you go to a hotel, everyone eats. That's the way it is. That why how we become so lenient? I don't know, but that's what it is. I guess only a minhag. Being that it's not a real halacha, it's only a minhag, even though the way the minhag is described in Shulchan Aruch limits the participants to a very small, close-knit group of people, for whatever reason, the minhag has become to expand to include anyone who's present to participate in eating and by these 4 special events. Bris Milah, Pinyin HaBen, Bar Mitzvah.
Bar Mitzvah has to be Bo Bayom.
Good question. So there are 2 conditions. Either Bo Bayom, and the bar mitzvah boy, that's the case, does not need to say a devar Torah. But if it's not bo bayom, then it's also called a sudas mitzvah, bar mitzvah, if the bar mitzvah boy says over divrei Torah.
Does not need to make a siyum.
He has to celebrate the fact that he was nichnas lo'ol ha-mitzvah, he's being a sud in honor, but being that it's not bo bayom, you need to give the little chizuk. And the way you give a chizuk is that the bar mitzvah boy himself should say words of Torah. That's what it says Shulchan Aruch. And that elevates it into a sudas mitzvah which permits one to serve meat.
How about the deity puts on Torah?
No, definitely not. Definitely not. Absolutely not. No such thing. There's no meat. A bris are having a vachnach. Today became a shagas. They didn't even be able to make tents. Now the tent, everyone should come the night before the bris milah and have a party. No such thing. You're not allowed to eat meat by a vach nacht. Okay, there's no such thing. The night before the bris milah, you want to go invite everyone and say kriyasha with the baby, you're not allowed to eat meat. Toyameha. Some people have, they come Thursday night for tshalom. Thursday night for tshalom. This year it's not nogea this year because, well, it was nogea. It was a list because it's already come out Erev Tisha B'Av. But last year, last week, it was Thursday Rosh Chodesh. Rosh Chodesh. So some people, they like to invite people over, you have a little toyameha, to eat a little hachon of a Shabbos, osur. You're not allowed to eat meat for those things, but only for these 4 exceptions. Now, a siyum is a very big debate, a raging debate. Is it proper to go make siyumim in order to eat meat, and what are the rules? So there are different minhagim. Some people are very disturbed, hold that don't abuse a siyum. If you happen to finish a mistake at that point in time, gesunte eight. But don't go rush up your learning and invent siyum in order to eat meat. And what about in camp? Well, in camp, so they make a siyum, and who's called a participant? Listen, when dealing with children, you can be makel. Okay, dealing with children, you certainly can be makel. And when you're dealing with adults, a hotel. In hotels, they do this for adults. So it depends. You know, you can't generalize. Every situation is different. There are some who hold that it's a very nice thing. Adarabba, in our generation, the more learning, the more awareness of learning Torah, the better. It's kedai to eat meat, to do an avera, and eat a little meat during the 9 days in the framework of Mvatal and Minog, if you're going to promote the study of Torah. Some hold no, you shouldn't. This is not for today, not for now, whatever. It's something
some
which... Yes, I told you, I saw an advertisement. Come to our restaurant. We're serving the best barbecue meat you've ever tasted. And there's a big sign. See them every hour on the hour. Okay? This is kosher. It falls in the same category as kosher bacon. And pizza on Pesach. Kosher le Pesach bagels. And kosher le Pesach pizza. And not only that, it tastes even better than the real thing.
It's real.
It's so good. It's real.
If somebody became Bar Mitzvah on Shabbat, Shabbat off, he should on Sunday, fast or no?
What? If someone became Bar Mitzvah, so you're asking a question, if someone became Bar Mitzvah on Shabbos,
yeah.
So he was not here, this is, I saw your question asked in the Sefer, it's a Machloikis HaPoiskim, Me'ikir HaDin, no, he does not have to fast. The boy became, we're going off topic now, not the and this is the last thing. The only thing if a boy became bar mitzvah on Tisha B'Av this year, does he have to fast on Sunday? We're going to observe Tisha B'Av on Sunday. The real bar mitzvah of the boy is on Tisha B'Av. Does he have to fast? According to Shulchan Aruch, the answer is no. Me'ikar hadin, he does not have to fast because it's a nidche. And if you were not bar mitzvah at the time of the main the zman, you have no obligation to observe the nidcha. However, the minhag ha'olam is that the boy does fast. The boy is told to fast. You bar mitzvah now, even though technically you do not have to fast, because you were not bar mitzvah when it was really Tisha B'Av, and it's only a tashlumin for what you're lacking, but every bar mitzvah boy who is healthy and is able is told the minu ko'olam is too fast. Okay, let's go back. What? On Yud.
Yeah.
On the day of the day. When was the real bar mitzvah?
Yud.
So that's not a problem. But the boy fasted. Of course he fasted. The minhag was to fast. It's only a minhag. It's not. It's a minhag of a minhag. The whole thing b'chlal is a minhag. Well, Tisha B'Av is a halacha. As I say, you have to fast. But that okay, it's a minhag. Okay, these are the exceptions. Now let's talk about wine. This is very important. Wine. What about this? This is something where the halacha we're going to learn now opens up an appreciation for halacha. Not everything in halacha is the same, and here is where you separate the men from the boys. The men from the boys, this is where you separate. Here's an interesting question. Kiddush Friday night, not Kiddush Friday night. Kiddush Friday night, of course, you can drink wine. Shabbos, there's no, everything is mutter. You're allowed to drink wine, you're allowed to eat meat. Okay, what am I referring to? Bar mitzvah. Let us say for argument, let's talk about a regular meal. Now, we today, I don't know why this is so, no one seems to know why this is so, we don't make a mezumen with a koyes shel yayin during the week. It's almost never done. Can you ever see during the week, you go to someone's house for a suda, come for lunch, and you have three people, and they're sitting around the table, we have a mezumen, let's be mezamen ala koyes shel yayin. Come on, never see it. Why not? You're mechuyev to do it. You really are mechuyev. Really, according to the halacha, there's no reason why you should not be mezamin during the week. You may hachoyel. If you're mezamin three people, you should be mezamin al koyesh al yayin. Even on Shabbos, almost no one does it. Very few people do it on Shabbos. But the truth is, there's no reason why you shouldn't, on Shabbos, certainly, if you're
mezamin.
What?
Not with three, but with ten.
On Shabbos.
If you have a minion,
on Shabbos. And during the week, you don't see it either. You don't even see 10. Let's say you have a meeting, you have a lunch, everyone comes to lunch, you have 10 people. 10 people for lunch. A business meeting, a birthday party, you name it. Anniversary party, not a sudas mitzvah. People get together, have a party, anniversary party, birthday party, it's lunch, a meeting lunch, your friends get together, a class reunion. Meistem b'chol yoyim. You have 10 people during the week in a restaurant.
They go do it. If there's wine available, they'll probably.
No, okay, it depends when they know the halacha. Really, you mechuyev. The correct thing is to be mezamin al koyish shel yayin. Even three people. For some reason, during the weekday, you almost never see it being done. And even on Shabbos, it's very rare that a family will be makbid, even if you have three people, to be mezamen al koy shel yayin. But there's no reason why not. Now, what about, let's say it is your custom, during the week, to be mezamen to bench al koy shel yayin with three people. And to make it very simple, Let's say a bar mitzvah. Okay, let's make it really easy. Really, a bar mitzvah. Bar mitzvah, you're allowed to have meat. You're allowed to have wine by a bar mitzvah. You're allowed to have these things, bar mitzvah. Now you come up to benching. Oh, we're up to benching by a bar mitzvah. Nothing to discuss, right? You're allowed to have meat by the meal. You're allowed to have wine by the meal. So now you're going to bench. Al koishal yayin is the bar mitzvah bochar, whoever benches, allowed to drink the koishal yayin. Of course! Absolutely. You're going to bench al koishal yayin. Benching al koishal yayin is a mitzvah. For a mitzvah, you're allowed to drink yayin. By a bar mitzvah, for sure. For sure, you can drink the koishal yayin. Let's now go to a bris. Going to a bris, it says in Shulchan Aruch, who should drink the wine? By a bris milah. Now, you know, you have a su'udah. By the su'udah, you can drink wine. But by the ceremony, should the one who makes the bracha drink the koy shel yayin? So you would say, of course, if I'm allowed to have meat by the meal, and I can bench al koy shel yayin and drink the wine by the meal, so certainly I should be able to drink the koy shel yayin by the ceremony. When they give kriyas Hashem, Baruch Atah Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Olam, Borei Pri Hagafen, Asher Kidash Yidu Mibeten, V'choik B'Seir Asam, V'Tzetzov, V'Chosim, V'Tzetzov. Of course you should be able to drink the wine, right? No, you're not allowed to. You know why? Because the Koy Shol Yayin is not the Ikar. There's no real need for there to be a Koy Shol Yayin by a Bris Mila. It's just there to enhance the ceremony. In order to enhance the ceremony, you make a bracha, boirei priyagov. And the truth is, you don't have to even drink it. If no one drinks the wine, you cannot say it was a bracha levatol. If you go to a bris milah and they make a boirei priyagov, and even havdalah for that matter, to even havdalah, when you go to a ceremony by a wedding, let's go by a wedding. Also, you have two cups of wine, shev brachas. If no one drinks the wine, it's not correct. The wine should be consumed, at least a little bit. But what would happen if no one drinks the wine? Is it a bracha levatala? No, it's not. The bracha of Borei Pri Hagafen is there to give honor to the ceremony. Borei Pri Hagafen, it's a ceremonial blessing. We are machmir, that we are toyim, we taste a little bit of the yayin in order to enhance the blessing. It should be a birchas hanenin.
This guy can make a bris on Tisha
B'Av. Of course you make a bris on Tisha B'Av.
So you make the broken
bris. Exactly. On Tisha B'Av itself, no adult, that is for sure. On Tisha B'Av itself, an adult does not drink the yayin. Who drinks the yayin? You give it to a child. You give it to a child who is the age of chinuch, but is not fasting. So basically, like a child, like 5, 6 years old. You give it to a child, something like 5. He knows what he's doing. That you make a bracha to drink yayin, and he's not in the parish of fasting. That is who you give the koshal yayin to on Tisha B'Av. But what about a bris that's not on Tisha B'Av? A bris today. So who drinks the wine? So you say, well, I should drink the wine. The adult, if I could drink wine during the meal, so certainly I could drink the wine during the ceremony. The answer is no. You can't drink the wine during the ceremony. Because the wine during the ceremony is not really necessary. It's just a ceremonial cup. It's not a chelik of the su'udah. It's not a there's no mitzvah to drink the yayin. The mitzvah is the cup should be there for ceremonial purposes. So therefore, there's a very big debate among the Pasi. There's a whole long issue. Now that's another problem. That's another issue because you're going into Meir. You have to make Havdalah. That's a separate issue. No. Let me say my point. But it comes to a bris milah, there's a very, very big debate lahalacha, what to do. I'm not discussing Tisha B'Av. On Tisha B'Av, there's a given that the adults cannot drink the yayin. The question is, what do you do during a regular bris milah? Because you have to appreciate, just because it's a mitzvah that's happening right now, a bris milah, what greater mitzvah is it than bris milah? And we have a kosher yayin. So you would say this is the ultimate exception. And it is, because the su'udah can, you can eat meat, you can drink wine by the su'udah. But by the ceremony, whoever said you have to drink the wine by the ceremony? Whoever told you to drink the wine? The bracha is there for cover for the ceremony. It's the 9 days, and the 9 days you're not allowed to drink wine. So don't drink the wine, give the wine to a child. That's so some place can actually say that's what should be done. Is that the minig olam? I don't know. You have to see what people do. Some hold no. Once already, it's part of it's the ceremony. And you can make the su'udah, you can drink the wine. You can be makel. The adult can drink the wine as well. But even those who hold the adult can drink the wine as well, it's not so simple. And this opens up an appreciation of when you do something, it's not just you do it automatically. Now, one last halacha, which is very, very critical, and that is havdalah. What do you do when you make havdalah this which is Shabbos? It's too late. It's already too late. Ready? It's not okay anymore. Okay, it's too late already. It's not okay anymore. It was past Mitzvah Shabbos. So what did you do this past Mitzvah Shabbos? So the Mechaber says. So the Mechaber says you give the wine to a child. The Mechaber says you give the wine to a child. That's what the Mechaber says. You should not drink the wine. The Ramah says you should make havdalah on Sheikhar Chamar Medina. Now, by the way, all the prohibition of drinking wine is not intoxicating beverages. It's only yayin. You're allowed to drink
grapes.
No, grapes you cannot drink. Oh, yeah. Grape juice is yayin. Grape juice is yayin. You're allowed to drink whiskey. Okay, you're allowed to go to a bar during the 9 days. The prohibition of the 9 days is only yayin. One is permitted to drink other types of intoxicating beverage which is not from yayin. Sheikh, whiskey. So that you make a shahakol on. The Ramah says, because there's a taruvis. No, that's mutter. No. The bourbon, the cask that only has in the walls is mutter. It's no different. Here, maybe it's touching more something else a little bit. Let me finish. Then we'll come back to you quickly. But here's this. Let's clarify this. Even though it's not okay, it's this year. It's already over. But just at least to bring out the point to understand the issue. The Ramah says that you should instead make havdalah on sheikhar, on beer. Do not make havdalah on yayin. Rav Moshe Feinstein, he says something very, very fascinating. He says that the halacha of the Ramah and the Mechaber is only discussing their times. Listen, Ramah. In Ramah's time, every Mitzoy Shabbos, it was common for the average man to make havdalah on beer. Wine was very expensive. The average person could not afford to make havdalah on yayin. If now you make on chamar medina, on beer. If you now are going, if your custom is only to make havdalah on beer, and now you go out of your way, oh, this is going to be the one Shabbos the whole year that I'm going to change my minig, I'm going to make havdalah on yayin, that's an abuse of halacha. Don't take advantage of the fact that making havdalah is a mitzvah, and you'll argue if it's a mitzvah, there's a special dispensation that you're allowed for the purpose of mitzvah to drink yayin. Maybe you're right, but if the whole year you make havdalah on beer, you have no right now that this Shabbos you're going to become ultra orthodox. Now I'm going to make havdalah on yayin. But us, as Moshe says, the average person in America makes havdalah on either grape juice or yayin. Being that havdalah is a mitzvah, and a chelik of the mitzvah of Moshe holds it's enough to also to drink, there is no issue whatsoever for the average person to make havdalah on grape juice or wine. It's a mitzvah. The prohibition to drink yayin during the 9 days is only l'dvar chol. For a dvar mitzvah, it's mutter. And this mitzvah is the mitzvah which applies every mitzvah Shabbos of havdalah. And if you ordinarily make it on wine or grape juice, permitted. Don't be confused with the words of the Ramah, who said that you should make it on beer, because the Ramah was discussing his time when the average person never made Havdalah on Yayin. So now it's not proper to, this Mitzvah Shabbos, punk, is going to be the Mitzvah Shabbos, I'm going to make Havdalah on Yayin.
You make an early Shabbos Friday, okay?
Yes, good question. You make an early Shabbos, you are permitted to drink meat and Yayin. Yes, it extends backwards.
You
very, you're permitted. You're permitted to eat meat before Shki on Shabbos, even though it's not yet Shabbos really, because Shabbos, the Raisa begins, it's twice for Shabbos. Shabbos begins with sunset. And you're making an early Shabbos, you can make Kiddush on Yayin, and you can eat meat and finish your meal before it gets dark. Oh, but it's only Friday. Twice for Shabbos permits you to eat meat and Yayin before, as long as after Plag HaMincha. Children, he writes over here, children can already do it even after Chatzos, Erev Shabbos. They can be Mikol. Okay, we have a lot more to learn.
Should be with meat.
Sudas Mavsekes does not, who doesn't say should, doesn't say that.
It doesn't say, it
does not say you do whatever you want. Afilu Sudas, does he should? Who says should? Who says should?
No.
Don't say anywhere should. On a regular Shabbos, no machiv to eat meat for Sudas Shal Shudas. No such thing. I know what you're saying.
Should that not?
Okay, one last thing. If you're not letting meat, Rav Meir pointed out a very important halacha. If you have fleishik tikkakelim, the utensils you have are fleishiks. Even if they've been used for fleishiks within the last 24 hours, and you cook a parva dish, so this dish, la halacha, has the status that it's at least has absorptions of fleishiks, and you're not allowed to eat it together with milk. You don't have to wait 6 hours. But being that it was cooked in a fleishik of the utensil and it was less than 24 hours, so you're not allowed to eat it together with milk, is perfectly permitted. The prohibition, the minhag that we do not eat meat is only pure meat. But if something that is parif has been cooked in utensils that are fleishiks, you are permitted to eat that without any question whatsoever. And likewise, he pointed out, what about when it comes to certain types of whiskeys which have been soaking in casks that have absorptions of wine, of kosher wine, if you could find such things, of kosher wine. So you'll say, also, you're having yayin. No, that's not called yayin. Yayin is only when you actually add some grape juice into the dish. But sitting in a cask that has an absorption of yayin, you cannot say that's called yayin. That would not be prohibited at all. Has wine inside it. Okay, we have a very short break. We'll start today, just a little bit of the kinois. The kinois.
I think this is not